The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast. It's the Curra's big weekend of the year. Of course, it's the Irish 1000 and 2000 guineas. And of course, it's the colts' turn this afternoon in the shape of the 2000 coming up at 4:10. We've got eight races for you. We've also got group race and pattern race action all the way through the card. We've got some useful colts and fillies taking part in the Marble Hill, the Greenland Stakes, 3:35, and also, of course, the Landwade Stud Stakes, a Group 2 contest at 4:45. A couple of nice little handicaps, juicy ones as well, scattered around the programme. Really is a varied card this afternoon at the County Kildare venue. And we start off with an intriguing two-year-old contest over six furlongs. Quite a few of these have yet to race, so we're very much into unknown territory here. But of those that have run, then quite clearly Lethal Promise and Gossamer Wings, second and seventh respectively behind Dandy's Ocean in quite a good time figure race over today's course on their debuts a few weeks ago, set the standard. I thought Lethal Promise shaped with a good deal of promise on that occasion, considering she was slowly away and did some good late work to be never nearer at the finish. And also, Gossamer Wings should improve quite significantly after a really tardy start and getting stuck in the mud on rain-softened ground. He was sent off favoured that day, so clearly better things are expected today. And the market is certainly speaking quite favourably of him. Talking of market moves, well, there's money this morning flowing around for Spark and Joy. And considering that Jessica Harrington's done really well with her two-year-old so far this season, and of course did win that aforementioned Curra Maiden with Dandy's Ocean, she might have some idea of what to be expected. But of those, like I say, I've had a run. Lethal Promise, I think, probably shaped the best out of that Curra race. Step Up Your Trip should suit. And, of course, 5-1 as well. Top price this morning. Doesn't look a bad each-way bet for Willie McCreary's filly in the first. On to the 2:25 and the first of very competitive handicaps here today. The two to concentrate on here are the two eye-catchers first time out this season, Rattling Jewel and St. Brelard's Bay. And of the two, I'd probably just favour Joseph O'Brien's Charge, who finished second to Blairmain over what turned out to be an inadequate trip first time out at Nace. It was its first run for Joseph O'Brien, having left previous connections. And given that all his best forms over six, and indeed over today's course of distance, he's won twice here over the stiff six furlongs at the Curra, I'd expect Rattling Jewel to improve quite significantly off that first run. Drawn West, where the pace is as well, right down the middle of the track, because we've got a couple of ideal front runners here, Comgorgas and Togerville. I'd expect this horse to be dragged into the race quite nicely. But St. Brelard's Bay would be the danger, having shaped similarly over an adequate five at Navan last weekend when fourth behind Blue Uluru. And again, a very strongly run time figure race. Drawn right next to where the favourite is, that horse has got to be the main danger to my number one selection, Rattling Jewel, in the 2:25. On to the first of the pattern races then today, to listed race, of course, the Marble Hill for the two-year-olds. Quite a few of these have won first time out, so quite a few reputations are on the line. I thought Van Beethoven was the most promising of the horses who've won so far this season. None of these have actually done anything spectacular on the numbers. They've all run to the similar kind of level on my speed figures, but I thought Van Beethoven's run was shrouded in promise following that run at Newmarket over an inadequate five furlong trip. The way this horse quickened in the latter stage and left at California Daddy for dead suggests that he could well be up to Royal Ascot standard in a few weeks' time. And of course, the second California Daddy ran really well at Leopardstown last night. Do think Mike O'Callaghan's two should run really well. Out of the pair, I was really impressed with the way that Evasive Power finished his race off the other day and floored the odds-on favourite of Aidan O'Brien's Coral Beach. And I think the step-up in trip will certainly suit that elusive quality colt. So he could be the each-way alternative at double-figure odds. But Van Beethoven, he's nicely drawn. This ground should be ideal for him, and he looks an exciting prospect to go along with a few choice two-year-olds that Aidan O'Brien has already run so far this season. On to the most prestigious race on the card with regard to sprinters, and that comes up in the shape of the Greenland Stakes at 3:35. 6 furlongs the trip, and Tasley really is the standout horse here, having plied his trade in virtually all the best sprint contests over this trip over in the UK last season. Of course, second to Harry Angel in the Haydock Park Sprint. That repeat of that performance should see William Haggas's charge very difficult to beat. And we know he goes well fresh as well, because he won 2 seasons back first time up. And he was second, of course, in the Duke York last year at Dante meeting. He signed off his season with a good run at Ascot in the Group 1. Again, he had Brando behind him that day, and I expect him to uphold the form, particularly with Willie Haggas's horses in such good form. On to the 4:10 then, the big race of the day at the Irish 2000 Guineas. And the English 2000 Guineas form is very much on the line here. And it's already begun to work out well with the small sample sizes that we've had. Several horses down the field, including Roaring Lion, of course, went on to win the Dante, have shown that that race run at HQ a few weeks ago was one of the best guineas we've seen for quite a while. The winner, Saxon Warrior, is even money or in places odds on favourite for the Derby, quite rightly so. And I thought Eloquam shaped really well in that to finish fourth. He just was slightly on heels as well coming out the stores, and he didn't get quite into the track position that Connections would have hoped. But he's got the perfect draw today. For those of you that don't know the Curragh on the round track, you definitely want to be drawn low and towards that far side. So the low draw, one draw, is absolutely ideal for this colt by Frankel. And that we know he gallops strongly over a stiff mile and a strongly run one at that as well. I wouldn't have much confidence in US Navy Flag over this trip. He's looked as though a couple of times the distance of a mile has just caught him out. And Gustav Klimt, albeit he hasn't got too much to find with Alquam, unfortunately, he's got the desperate draw in stall number 9 to overcome, which won't be easy. So all roads very much lead to Alquam here. I think 5-2, 9-4 is actually quite a generous prize for him. And I'd make him quite a confident vote there to win the Irish 2000 Guineas for the informed stabler Mark Johnson. On to the Landwade Stakes then. It's contest for fillies, Group 2 status, coming up at 4:45. All eyes here, no doubt, will be on Hydrangea, who, of course, won the big fillies contest towards the back end of the season at Ascot, signing off what was a really good year. Of course, she was run up behind Rhododendron at Shanty, and she was victorious in the Group 1 at Leopardstown over today's trip when she beat the Guineas winner Persuasive. All of those runs were a stark contrast to the races that she run early on in the season when she didn't look as though she was going to turn out to be that good. And even though there's a slight question mark over her over a mile, she probably wants a little bit further nowadays. This looks a decent starting point. Gold Rush, of course, is a filly going places, trained by Jim Bolger. She could be a useful filly this season. But if you're looking for a bet without the favourite here, may I suggest Zenobia could easily punch above her weight. She has been a revelation so far this season. She won at Leopardstown and only just got beat the other day at Nace. She's quite a free going sort, but she's got race fitness on her side. She's a course winner, which is obviously a massive bonus, and with conditions very much in her favour, it might just well be that Zenobia's got enough quality this afternoon anyway to give Hydrangea the most to think about. So perhaps Zenobia is the bet there without the favourite. On to the 5:20 then, which is a mile handicap for the 3-year-olds. And one of my best bets on the card runs here in the shape of Tezzetto, who's just had the 2 runs, has got a rating of 94, which looks a little bit high considering she's only run at Dundalk. But her performance last time at the Ireland's only all-weather venue was a really good one, because not only did she win by 3 lengths, she did it by circumnavigating the whole field right the way around the outside. She was always on the wing, giving away ground. And for her to have as much running in her legs to pull well clear of the field in a good time figure suggests to me that she's a filly of some repute. Mickey Halford's horses often come on for their racing as well, so I'd expect her to get better with each and every start. And I didn't think this race is a particularly strong run. Obviously, Wisdom Mine, a winner over the course and distance the last day, has got to be factored in. And of course, Athenia, the runner-up, went on to advertise that form with a good run last week at Newbury. I'd certainly give Dianthus another bit of a half a look, because her time figure at Nace was a good one, and she didn't really have her conditions when she bombed out next time out in the Group 3. But the fact that Richard O'Brien decided to pitch her into that deep water suggests that she thinks a bit of her. The only problem with her, she's drawn in stall 11, which won't be easy to overcome outside in the wing. But all in all, around about 4-1 top price this morning. I'd be disappointed if Tarzetto doesn't run a massive race there. Onto the final race then, quite a wide open affair, probably one of the hardest races on the card to solve. We've obviously got Roxanne in this, who's very difficult to assess in many respects. Bond Street, who comes here off the back of a good run last time out at the over today's course, and distance got to be a factor. But I'll be quite keen here on Lethal Power, who's having his first run for the stable this season at Killarney the other day. And that race that was won by Lizard Lady was noted for its strong pace and the strong speed figure that it produced. So there's a decent chance that this horse can improve upon that run. Could be a major factor here. The draw 13 could be a little bit of a disadvantage, arguably, but I'd probably have to stick with my numbers here and go with Johnny Murta's three-year-old. I'd certainly give a favourable mention too to Kaffa Macchiata and Dream of Words, who also come out on the speed figures. All in all, a very, very difficult concluding contest. Not a particularly strong or confident vote in the direction of Lethal Power, but he's my choice in the final race. Thanks very much then for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again at around about the same time when we're going to be previewing the Curragh's 8-race flat card tomorrow, of course, which includes the Irish 1000 Guineas. Card begins at 1:50. Hopefully you can tune into me in the morning. Until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.